Blow the horn. Let's go.
In everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's a simplistic play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you win.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Young nation that you're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. Zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, we are back for the 2012 season, the preseason extravaganza. Why don't we start off with the quarterbacks? You ready to go?
I am ready, man.
All right. I don't think there's any question that AJ's the starter. You want to debate that, or are you good with that?
Well, I think Phillip Sims kind of took care of that when he transferred after the A-Day game.
You know what? That's a good point. I think we got out of Phil what we needed to get out of Phil. We needed him on the team last year. We needed the two guys to go in and compete with one another. We needed him available in case A.J. did not pan out. He did pan out, and I would love to have Phil around, but the fact that he had a family issue and needed to move on, I think we got out of him what we needed to get out of him. Anything above that would be bonus. I'm okay that he left.
Let's call it for what it was. We said early on last season that Nick Saban was kind of, you know, giving them reps in the A-Day game before the season started and was purposely playing their stats off each other so their stats could be almost equal after the A-Day game. It was kind of uncanny how they were almost within a few yards of each other. So that going into fall camp and stuff, all the hype was there and the momentum, and he could keep them both interested in the job. But he probably knew all along that A.J. McCarron was going to be his guy.
Probably so. In hindsight's 20/20, but we did elaborate on that in the spring game that we were almost manufacturing the competition to keep him around because he could have left after spring, which would have left us in a bigger hole last year than potentially we are this year. So, you know, McCarron's the starter. I think he probably has a chip on his shoulder, and I say that with the understanding that he was the MVP, the most valuable player in the national championship game. It's hard to find a better credential than that, but when you look at any preseason rag about the SEC, they're talking about Tyler Wilson at Arkansas. They're talking about Aaron Murphy at at Georgia. They're talking about Tyler Bray at Tennessee, and they're talking about James Franklin at Missouri. You don't hear a whole lot of talk about A.J. McCarron. I think he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, even though the success he's experienced.
He should have a chip on his shoulder. I mean, but going into that national championship game, it's fair to say that was his coming out party. I mean, you and I sat there live and saw him make plays in that game and make passes over DB's shoulders in tight spots on corner routes on the sideline that he had not done his whole career, which obviously was just last season. But we talked about after that game that for the first time, Coach Saban let the reins off and let him loose. And I think we're going to see that continue this year.
I think so, too. We may see a little bit. He's not going to pick off exactly where he left off. There's going to be a little bit of a regression just, you know, due to the offseason. But good reports coming out of the offseason, good reports coming out of the preseason. I think he's going to pretty close to pick up where he left off, and he's going to be a high-quality player. Any Alabama fan paying attention last year saw him progress as the season went on, and certainly the coaches did as well. He was under a tight leash his first start last year, starting the game, had two picks against, you know, Kent State to start, had five on the whole season. That's a phenomenal stat by itself. But he progressed. The leash got a little looser, And when the game plan for the national title game was that we're going to put the ball in the air, we had every comfort in the world in handing the ball to McCarron, and he performed. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this year because, you know, we're going to have potentially more questions on defense. We're going to need an extra 7-10 points on the board, I think, every game this year.
This is the first quarterback since Nick Saban has been here that I think he is comfortable saying, okay, you showed me last year that you're not going to get me beat because you learned from your mistakes early in the year and you only had five picks for the year. But he's got the arm that he can win some games for you. And I think, no offense to the John Parker Wilsons and the Tyler Watts and the quarterbacks that have come before before McCarron, this is the first guy I think that gives him a good mixture of I can make smart decisions, I'm not trying to force the ball into tight spots anymore because Coach Saban reamed my ass out for that, but I can still win games if I need to.
He's got the best hose since Brody Croyle, I think, and I think he's going to be a high-quality player for us. Coach Nuss, the first-year offensive coordinator, he's worked with a number of high-caliber quarterbacks, and he indicates, and he uses the word very twice, that McCarron has a very, very high ceiling, and so that's encouraging to hear. Why don't we flip the switch a little bit and look at the next two guys up, Philip Eli and Alec Morris. Who is number two?
Has to be Philip Eli. I think he has, he doesn't have a lot of time on the field right now, but he did show some good composure in the A-Day game. He showed that he had some good sense about him and was making some smart decisions. He was managing the offense and the limited opportunities that he had. Let's face it, A.J. McCarron has to stay healthy. There's a lot of concern here that we do not have a proven backup, but I think that if he can get some chances to have some mop-up duty and get a little experience under his belt, then obviously I think he'll, that'll pay off for us as the season progresses.
Yeah, I don't want to ignore Blake Sims is also getting some reps at the QB position. He's kind of a player without a position. He's bounced between quarterback and running back during his career. But when we ask the question, who's the number two, and I'll be candid with you, to me, it's a little bit of a trick question. When you say who's the number two, I think you have to define, well, what do you mean by number two? Are you looking for the player that's going to come in off the bench late in the third quarter, early in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, when we're up by 20, and who's going to come up in mop-up duty? Who's going to come in maybe if A.J. sprains an ankle and needs a little tape or needs a little another bracket from for his chin strap? Are you talking about who is that player number two? I think clearly that's Eli. If you get into a position where you have a catastrophic injury and you need someone to replace the quarterback for games, I think when we get three or four games in, I think that player becomes Alec.
Really?
Yes. To me, it's very reminiscent of the 2009 season when McElroy was the starter. And conditionally, Star Jackson was the number two. But it was pretty universally known to those kind of with their ear to the ground that if McElroy had gone down any time in the last half of the season, McCarron would have stripped off the red shirt, come in and played as the starter over Star in a sustained 2-3-4 game type situation. And I think we're going to see something very similar to that Philip will be the guy in sort of situational. But if we need someone to come in and sort of take over the reins as the starter for games and our season is dependent upon that person's play, I think Alec, who struggled in the first scrimmage a little bit, but I think he has the higher upside. I think he has the higher acumen. And I think we get three or four starts in or three or four games in. That's where the coaches will look for someone to come in to kind of salvage the season if that's needed. Certainly, we hope that that's not needed.
Sure.
So given that breakdown, why don't we do, and we'll do something similar to this for each of their positions, on a scale, I'm going to call this the confidence interval. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate the quarterback position at the University of Alabama going into 2012 season? And what's kind of your one-liner explaining the value you assign?
I would have to give the position an 8. I mean, I feel very confident with A.J., he progressed a lot during the year. The only concern has to be the backup, but I think the sky's the limit. I think AJ will finish as the top one or two quarterbacks in the league.
All right, I'm going to give a very similar grade, and my explanation is indeed very similar as well. I'm giving it a 7.5, and depth is really the reason. I might nudge up closer to 8 if we had Philip Sims. He, in my mind, he was still an unproven commodity. I think if Alec comes on strong in the second and third scrimmages, my number might tick up just a little bit. But you're at 8. I'm at 7.5. I think the sky's the limit for AJ. It's just a question, it's just kind of a one play away from needing the backup. And right now, as we sit here, I couldn't tell you confidently who it would be. I just have an estimate on who I think it would be. Well, this has been the Alabama Football Podcast preseason extravaganza covering the quarterback position. Tom, why don't we come back and talk about the running backs? You ready?
I'm ready.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a roll tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.